Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome you to Porchfest. This is your host, Alan, and we are at Mars, the McGowan Art Retreat. I love what Joe McGowan does out here, and he has brought Mirrored Fatality. And I've got Summer and Mango here with me. How y'all doing?
Well, doing good. Thanks for having us on the show. Appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate y'all taking me up on it. I don't know if y'all remember, but it was a couple years ago we had connected over, I think, Instagram.
Yeah,
we were at this autonomous cooperative squat in Valbona d'Anoia, in Catalonia, in Spain. We were doing an artist residency there, and one of our friends, their name is Alex, they're an herbalist and a circus performer. They're like, y'all are from United States? Do you know about porch talks?
Oh, God.
We were like, what's porch talks? And they showed us a few videos from it and some of their favorite artists. And they're like, you should message them and go hang out with them if you're going to go to the South. Because we told them that we were going to go to Austin, Texas afterwards. And they're
I think that's where we had connected. Y'all were, I think y'all were out on a farm.
Yeah.
Was that when? We were at...
It was cows and I think maybe a few pigs.
Yeah, we were at Habitable Spaces,
Word, yeah.
I didn't look up the artist that Alex was talking about, but you can go.
So that was before we were in Mississippi the last time. Did you live in Austin?
No. I'm originally from Alabama, just outside of Tuscaloosa. And now I'm in Starkville, and that's how Joe and I connected. And I think he met y'all in Oxford years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So what was y'all doing in Oxford, Mississippi?
Actually, we were in an even more rural, unexpected place called Silver Creek, Mississippi.
I ain't even heard of that.
Yeah. It's a really small town. It's mostly people who have been who are retired and kind of just really small town. There's not really much there except the grocery store and a Dollar General. But basically, we were there because we were supporting our elder, Queen Hollins, and she lives in Long Beach, California, and runs a space called the Earth Lodge Center for Transformation, which is, a community sanctuary space for, queer and trans people, and, mm-hmm. Specifically, queer and trans people of color. And her family was, the first... her great-grandfather, I think, was, the first... freed slave to buy land in that area.
Whoa.
In Silver Creek, Mississippi. So she still has access to that family land and needed folks to take care of the house, keep it set up, and build a garden, a community garden type situation. So we were out in Silver Creek, Mississippi doing that because she eventually wants that space to be a community space as well. And then I think I had just found Southern Punk Flea Market online because we were booking a Southeast tour.
Mm-hmm.
So we do most of our tours DIY, book ourselves. So we had wanted to book a show in Mississippi and Southern Punk Flea Market was down, so we played that. It was super fun. The other bands were really cool too. And that's where we met Joe. So that's how we got connected to this spot. And then I think that was actually 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So now we're here 2 years later.
Yeah, all worked out.
Yeah.
I was when he had told me that y'all were coming, I was extremely excited because, we had connected and I was like, I've been wanting to have them on the show and get their story. This is great.
Yay.
So just out the gate, where are y'all from?
Yeah,
you can go.
I'm from LA County originally, so mm-hmm. I grew up mostly in LA, but then we've been on the road for the past 4 years, pretty much moving nonstop every month to a few weeks.
Yeah. I was born and raised in Los Angeles, specifically in Corona, California, but my family moved around a lot, so I moved all over Los Angeles and the Bay Area.
So how about music? How did music get in your life?
Well, where I'm from in LA, like the South Bay, it has a really big like punk hardcore scene. So I got kind of like connected to that and like Burger Records, which is like this, that was like a DIY label out of like California that would do a lot of like festivals and shows. It was like a lot of like punk kind of like DIY, like all over the place, but lots of different types of artists. So that's kind of how I got into like more like alternative music, I guess, because like growing up, my parents mostly listened to like Islamic music, so like kind of like prayer music and like devotional music or like Bollywood music. But it was like kind of like when I started getting more into like punk and like Burger Record stuff in high school. And also like in middle school, I feel like I was more into like emo type music, and then kind of like discovered my own music taste like for myself, like through like meeting people and just having access to like the internet, like when it started kind of getting more accessible in my youth.
Yeah, that I wasn't even aware that Oxford had a punk scene. Like, usually when I think of punk, I think of Tupelo in Mississippi. They've got like a punk / skateboard scene.
Oh, that's cool.
And like, it's crazy. That's Elvis Presley's birthplace.
Whoa.
And but like, you would never think punk, but it's there.
Cool.
That's really cool. Yeah, I feel like the punk spirit lives all over. There's a lot to rage about in this crazy world, and
yeah.
I feel like punk music is a great vehicle and weapon to not to transmute that pain, but also bring people together to fight for something bigger sometimes, you know. So it makes sense that punk is everywhere. And then I think for me growing up, I'm Kapung Pangan, so my family migrated from this village called San Simon, San Fernando, and Pampanga, and they both loved like alternative indie rock music, and that's kind of what I grew up with. But our culture was very much like karaoke, so like we would have family parties every weekend. Like everybody would just work their like insane, like, you know, working class, lower class jobs, and we would all come together and have a huge potluck and do karaoke. So at the age of 3 years old, I already had a mic in my hand, and like I was already entertaining my elders when they just wanted to kick back and let it loose. Like they had a 3-year-old singing like "I Will Survive" by Gloria Gaynor and like "Hopelessly Devoted to You" by Olivia Newton-John. Like things a 3-year-old should not be singing about, you know? Like my man's leaving me or something. So I feel like that's kind of where music started for me, and just seeing all of my family singing a lot, and I had family members who would just like put a drum kit and a guitar together and start jamming while they're like just eating and drinking and all those things. But then I think into like my adulthood and outside of my family, it was definitely like the queer and trans, like Black and Indigenous POC, like underground experimental scene in LA, and like spaces like Queer Space, or like there's a festival called 143rd Dimension, or the Multiverse is Illuminated, that was started in the San Francisco and Bay Area. So a lot of bands that influence like our work today are like started from that festival. And then there's also a Clausen Records and a Clausen Festival, which was started by Rupert Estanilo. He's a migrant from the Philippines, and he started the first like Filipino American like record label and like only Filipino American punk festival in all of the country, basically.
Whoa.
So yeah, so all of those bands, all of those artists that filtered through those scenes, I think like really catapulted, you know, our sound like language and vocabulary, but also inspired me to be like, you know, there are people who look like me who are doing this, and like I want to do this too. So
yeah,
that's kind of where my practice with music started.
So would it be that scene in Los Angeles, how y'all would meet?
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. So well, take me there. How did that go down?
So it was like May 2019. We were both working like 3 or 4 jobs in LA, and we were going to school. And then one day I was like really pissed about the world and like people not being treated right, and you know, doing a bunch of protests for laborers and everything. And I came up to Summer. I was like, "Dude, I'm so pissed. We should start a punk band." And then Summer was like, "Yeah, let's do it." And I think they were curating an event in Chinatown at this place called Chewing Foil. It no longer exists, but that was
it was
like,
in K-Town.
My bad. I thought it was always Chinatown. That's what you always said.
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, you can take it from there.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, I feel like I got more involved in, like, the art scene through doing, like, collaborative kind of, like, projects with people, like, putting together, like, group art shows or, like, working on, like, a big project together and then, like, showing it or doing, like, poetry or, like, visual art, but I really wanted to get into music and, like, Mango had been, like, playing guitar and stuff and, like, I think did, like, a song at, like, at my job when I was hosting, like, an open mic, and I was like, oh, it'd be so cool, like, to collaborate on something. And then, yeah, like, someone hit me up about helping out with, like, curating this, like, Asian American showcase at Chewing Foil in K-Town, which was, like, a DIY kind of, like, venue space. It was really cool. I'm really sad it's gone. It had, like, this, like, wall of TVs and just, like, a bunch of, like, weird, like, art installations everywhere, and it was kind of like this like warehouse type space. Yeah, so then
we saw this project called Moira Scar. They're they were just these two artists who had like really wild masks on and like goth like punk makeup. They were at a synth and a saxophone and they were yelling like dark wave industrial music. And then the other band that we saw together was Fuck You Pay Us, which is like this a black trans like punk band from like our friends Jasmine and Uhuru and what's Restless real name? Restless. Okay. Uhuru and Jasmine and Restless and Sunny War, like they were part of Fuck You Pay Us, so we saw them play at Naval and Church, and we saw Moira Scar play at Church of Fun, which are like DIY underground spots in LA. So then we were really inspired by them, and then we just started trying to keep sharing our music in just specifically in California.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so when we first started, neither of us had, like, any equipment, like...
We had none of this.
Yeah, like, basically, like, I got a work gift card from my job, and that's what I used to buy, like, amps, and then, like, a friend gave me, like, their extra bass, and then you got the guitar.
I got the guitar because I was working at the radio station, and then, like, my friends would just be like, you can borrow this, and I was like, cool, and would just get a bunch of quarter inches and just take it to the show, basically. And then one of my friends, Lily, who's, like, is a really talented artist based in L.A., like, showed me GarageBand a little bit, and then in high school, my friend Marvin and I would jam in his dad's, like, company's warehouse, because he set up his drum kit there, so he showed me some guitar and, like, stuff on GarageBand, so all those, like, tiny skills that I had, we just kind of put into our project, and, yeah, we just, like, we had a guitar and bass and just did spoken word and just yelled, and that's kind of where we started, and now it's, like, 5 years?
Yeah, 5 years.
2019, 2021, 2022, 2023,
4, 6? Oh my god, has it really been 6
years? Getting close to 6.
Ah!
Yeah, 6 years later, it's like we're not just guitar. We don't even use our guitar and bass right now.
Yeah, I mean, my bass broke, so.
Yeah, it's shifted into more like experimental noise hardware, more performance art, more multivisual. So we have films and sculptures and costumes, and it's more theatrical. And I think our music totally grew because of our ability to travel, you know? We're born and raised in LA and we're working and going to school there, but when the pandemic hit, like, we lost our jobs, we got evicted from our apartment, we were protesting every day during the riots, and then we were like, we can't live like this, and so then we ended up in the middle of a farm in Osceola, Wisconsin. We're like learning how to farm, basically, and they gave us a little studio to like record our first EP, and then ever since then we were like, oh, we kind of like being on the road and traveling, and we kind of haven't stopped, so we've been able to survive by doing a lot of work trades and artist residencies and just going on tour and meeting a bunch of punks and comrades around the way who just like kind of let us crash and like work on our art. But because of the traveling and touring, we meet so many incredible artists. Like, we've traveled across like Thailand, the United Kingdom, all over Spain, all over the country, Europe. Like Mexico, all over Europe. So many artists have like influenced us, inspired us, and that we've also supported with them. Like, our current performance, I would say we are involves a collaboration about 12 international queer and trans artists in terms of like 3D visuals and costumes and music and like recordings that we use within our music. So that's pretty awesome too. And I really do not think that our work right now, where it is, would be what it is if we stayed in LA.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. that's wild. So up in Wisconsin, you were able to record the EP. Like, was the following still based in California? Like, how were people, like, finding your music? How were you getting it out?
Well,
social media?
Yeah, it was, like, during the pandemic, so it was just, like, online on Bandcamp, really. And then, yeah. And then in terms of, like, a physical release, Rupert from McClawson Records saw that I was wearing one of the band's t-shirts when I did, like, a play in San Francisco. And then was like, do you guys want to play at Clawson Fest and be part of the record label? I'll put out cassettes for y'all. And we were like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
But before that, I mean, it was just online.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, when we first started, like, thankfully, like, we, since, like, both of us have been involved in, like, the DIY, like, queer and trans art scene in, like, varying degrees, like, we kind of, like, were able to just book stuff, like, through Instagram and also through, like, just, like, meeting people or, like, friends of friends. But then when we moved to Wisconsin and, like, self-recorded the EP and put it out, I feel like, yeah, it was still doing a lot of stuff, like, online, like, especially during the pandemic. Like, it was, like, finding opportunities online and, like, doing a lot of, like, live streams. But mm-hmm. I would say, like, a lot of, like, our following, quote-unquote following, like, our is, like, honestly, a lot of, like, friends and, like, people in community who just, like, support us. Like, I feel, like, really lucky that, like, a lot of, like, the people who have, like, booked us or, like, put us on have been, like, really kind and generous and, like, respectful and, like, really care about, like, what we're doing, which is, yeah, it's felt, like, really good.
And usually it's, like, friends of friends, too, or, like, friends who, like, will see our work and be like, oh, my friend and Denton, Texas would love you, and my friend in Prattsville would love you, and just, like, stuff like that, which is just very natural in, you know, the punk and DIY community. But also, I think outside of being musicians, we're also, like, active organizers, too, fighting for, like specifically, like, we work with, like, Leong Network and and Aro Collective and Earth Lab Center for Transformation and Starroot Farm. So those are just, like, big grassroots collectives that are fighting for, you know, food justice, labor justice, climate justice. So I think also our comrades and, like, fellow freedom fighters also follow our work, too, because I think our music and our art is, like, a space of expression. And because a lot of our loved ones are always fighting, like, for a better world all the time, I feel like we would like to hope that, like, when we come into town and perform, it's like a space where we can just come together and rage and grieve and reconnect through all the craziness.
Sure. And yeah. Also, like, I mean, we have worked with, like, independent record labels, but for the most part, like, we've pretty much self-booked all of our tours except a few coming up that are, like, collaborative tours. And, like, I mean, we also just find stuff online too, or, like, people find us online, which is always cool when, like, one time someone in Lithuania found our music and was like, come to Lithuania. And we're like, where is Lithuania? And I don't even know.
And then we ended up in a punk bunker in Vilnius, Lithuania.
And it was,
like,
amazing.
5 days.
I've got a band in New York City, Mad Meg. They're great.
Oh, sick.
Very, very theatrical.
And, oh, we got a link with them. We're going to be in New York in May.
They recorded one of their first music videos in a Lithuanian women's prison.
Whoa.
And that was, like, one of their first, like,
that's fucking
international
brutal.
Tours.
That is deep. How did they get in?
Of that, I think they had family members or, like, Word. Friends and family there. They're Word. All they're all from Eastern Europe and the Russian area over there.
Word.
That's real. Damn, that's so hardcore.
And it's a great video. And they're, yeah. I mean, and we find this all the time. Like, I would describe the two of you this way as within the music community. It's very rare now, especially if you're DIY, for you just to be a musician.
Yeah.
You're an organizer. You're also an artist.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, because you have to have all these different medias to kind of get your message across, like
totally.
who you are as a musician or artist or however you want to put yourself.
Totally.
So, like, how did the international world open up? Like, where was your first, you know, across... Europe or wherever you Mexico, wherever you ended up first?
Well, I guess first Tijuana.
Yeah, first was Tijuana.
Yeah.
It had to be sick.
It goes straight back to a class on records again. Like, Material Support and Namataisa Ingai played in LA. And they had a show, and we obviously all pulled up and, like, went crazy. And then one of my lovers at the time, Anghe, was at the show, and then we also ran into each other at Echo Park,
mm-hmm.
when we were all hanging out with all of our other friends who were also in the scene, and then we got pretty close, and then there we were based in Tijuana, and they're like, come through, and they booked a show on New Year's, and hosted us, and it was an epic show.
It was really fun.
We played with Wayfairy.
Yeah, who I think are from not from Oakland, but live in Oakland.
They do like folk punk shit, yeah. Which is cool, and then like some baby queer and trans, like Tijuana based punk, like shoegaze folks, and it was at Enclave Caracol, which was like, it's like a community cooperative space, and they do food not bombs and like bicycle workshops and stuff, and had like an apothecary on top, so that was epic. Like, we had a piñata that I think we lit on fire and pissed on.
It was amazing. It was so much fun.
Yeah, it was really great. And then I think our next international moment was Bangkok.
Yeah,
because my really good friend Annabelle was studying there. I was like, you guys should just come to Thailand. We were like, what the hell are you talking about? Why would you just come? They're like, just come, get a ticket. And so I think five of our friends and us came together. And then Summer went on Facebook and found some rant, like, you want to take that?
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty good at, like, booking from online stuff just because, like, I used to do, like, thankfully, like, one time when, like, I really needed a job and was out of work, my friend Josephine, whose artist name at the time was Coheen Orgasm, like, kind of hired me to be their, like, assistant. So, like, I learned a lot about, like, DIY booking through that and just, like, how to send emails, like, how to find people, like, how to find venues. So when we were going to Bangkok, I just, like, went on the internet, and I found this spot called The Overstay, which was this, like, punk hostel with, like, a punk venue at the bottom. It was like five floors.
It smelled terrible.
It smelled really bad. It smelled like fermented, like, cat and dog shit, but also, like, I don't know what else you would expect from, like, a punk hostel, I guess.
There's dogs everywhere.
Yeah,
which,
like,
is fine, like, you know,
yeah, like,
hard, but
art everywhere, like, art on all the walls. So then they booked us for this, like, hardcore fest that they had. And we played that, and then I think I found this other, like, experimental venue called Jam Cafe, and they had, like, a show going on, so they booked us for that, and that show was really cool. Like, I don't remember the name of the artist, but one of the artists was playing, like a traditional Thai instrument, but, like, through, like, a pedal, so it was super noisy. It was, like, I wish I could probably find the artist, but, yeah, so that was, like, our first international
one of my favorite moments from that Thailand tour, though, was there was a hair salon next to Jam Cafe, and I needed to shave my head because, like, parts of my head are shaved, so I wanted to get it done. So I walk into the salon, and there's, like, these three middle-aged Thai women who are, like, I'm, like, bald, you know? And, like, they're like, whoa, your hair's so crazy. Who the fuck are you? Where are you from? Like, are you a lady boy? And I'm just trying to get my head shaved, ma'am. And they're like, okay. But then one of them was wearing, like, a Ramones t-shirt.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, you like rock music? And then she was like, yeah, I love rock and roll, but it's hard to, all my people my age just want to listen to Thai pop music. And I was like, well, that's super sick. There's an experimental, like, rock punk show, like, two stores down. Like, do you want to come after you shave my head? And she totally pulled up, and she loved it. And she recorded our whole set, and, like, to this day messages me telling me that she's at Jam Cafe, like, sending me pictures of her, like, going to that cafe.
I always love that. If, like, playing in the town I've never been to, I'm at a red light and I see that their window is down, I will roll my window down and be like, hey, what are you doing later?
Yeah.
Like, come to my show.
That's a good ritual to do.
And they usually want to.
They're like, okay.
Yeah, that, you know, it's one thing to, like, invite people on social media, but, like, that, mm-hmm. when you physically invite somebody, like, odds are great.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's what I love. That's what I love about punk culture, too, is, like, you know, like, printing out flyers, like, you know, and just handing them out, like, physically, because it's, like, on the internet, you just kind of scroll through things, but
yeah.
I love when we have tangible posters and just, like, come, you know.
Yeah, I think, like, you know, the internet's a great thing. It helps connect people all over, but like, even with, I've been throwing music festivals for 5 years now and organizing and marketing and getting it out. And social media is great, but like you just said, there is nothing better than like being on the street corner and physically handing somebody something, be like, this is my event, it's free, come.
Yeah.
That's why I was really impressed by our friends in Leipzig, Germany, because there's a collective called Wisp Collective, and they organized like an experimental noise show for us, and it was like a fundraiser for my mom, because she got diagnosed with breast cancer, and and she lost her job and all the things, and like we needed to pay for her bills, and literally the international punk community like held it down and like donated so much to support her and my mom to get her rent paid. So thankful to all of you. You know who you are. But that collective like organized a fundraiser for that. But I think they printed out like 50 like huge posters and like plastered them all around town. So when we arrived and we were driving around, I would see the poster everywhere. It was so sick. And yeah, and I feel like and then it was like in the middle of this like bike path that, and then there was like a protest happening at the same time because they were taking out the warehouses there and turning them into gentrified apartment buildings basically. So during our sound check, there was literally a protest happening right outside.
We actually like joined it for a minute before we had to leave because we had to do sound check, but it was cool to see.
Yeah, and there was, yeah, it was awesome. And they all stopped at the canal and started blast, and then punk band started playing. It was epic. Yeah.
Very cool. Well, tell me a little bit about today. Like, I was watching some videos that Joe shared about some of the equipment. Like, walk me through, like, the sound today.
Oh, yeah. So we have, well, usually, like, we have our laptop here, and a lot of our backing tracks for our music comes from Logic Pro software. So it's, like, music that we've mixed and mastered and produced that we then play live, and then on top of that we have analog software. So we have like a VE20 vocal processor that processes our voices in loops, which then I connect to a Tensor Red Panda tape looper pedal, which is really awesome. It blends your pitch, the time, the speed, and you can play and loop stuff that goes forward or backwards, or it alternates. And that's really fun because we like glitchy music. And then I have a Drumbrute Impact analog drum synthesizer that I connected to the Kato Glitch Fuzz pedal that I got from this really sweet person in Helsinki, Finland. I messaged him and was like, we just did a residency in Helsinki, Finland. I love Helsinki. And your pedal is really expensive. I only have this much of a budget. Would you be down to like give me a discount? And he was like, yeah, I love the work and the activism that you guys do. I would be more than happy to give you a discount. Gave me a discount, sent it out. So I have that connected to the Drumbrute pedal. And then we got commissioned by Bosswitch Productions, which is ran by Carmina Escobar and Madeline Falcone, who are experimental artists in LA. Carmina is like an extreme vocalist. She's freaking insane. One of the most talented people I know. And Madeline is like a huge and like Grammy Award winning cellist, literally. And they gave us funds to work on a performance that we're doing in September in Los Angeles at Human Resources. So we used some of that budget to get these synths, because actually the reason why we even know about the synth is because of our residency that we did at was it through Tour de Moon?
It was definitely Tour de Moon. It was Tom Burke had that synth.
So we were on this crazy convoy across, and we went to 15
a lot.
We went all over the United Kingdom on this crazy convoy called Tour de Moon, where we are on tour with about 200 people with a huge red telephone that said dirty things to you, that was like AI, it was like the AI version of the moon. Then there was a huge octopus, and then a moving sound bath van, and then a van that had film screens on the outside that were filming like short films made by like young creatives under the age of 25, and then a recording studio that had those synths in it, and then a traveling PA system. So then we were with like, I don't know how many other artists, 10?
I think eight.
Eight artists, yeah. Where we would like do like music every day. And Tom had this in the studio, and then we really loved it. And then when we were in New York, there's a thing called Synth Library NYC, which basically lends out synths to people who don't have access to synths. So I borrowed that, and then my friend Basic, who's like one of the most incredible, like, raver, banger, thrash artists in LA. He's a legend. He, like, started touring Europe at 13 years old with two Game Boys. Like, he would make his whole entire hour sets with two Game Boys. That's it.
Whoa.
And then he, like, and they found, somebody found him on MySpace and took him on his first ever Europe tour. And to this day, is like, so amazing. So
really central to, like, the LA electronic, yeah, like, DIY underground community.
He started organizing raves at 13 years old.
Like, yeah.
He's insane. Yeah. He's, like, in his 40s now and still, like, throws a bunch of raves and still does them. But he's, like, definitely one of my mentors and, like, taught me how to use this. And that's, like, part of our gear. And then this distortion pedal, our friend Monica gifted to us, which I've connected to this since. And the distortion pedal is, like, really special, too, because Monica, again, back to A Class on Records, was one of the first, like, queer-presenting people on that label, mm-hmm, who I was, like, such a huge, like, fan of. And they saw us at A Class on Fest, and now we're, like, literally brothers for life.
Yeah, we're, like, besties.
Yeah, so then they gifted us that pedal.
And then the Playtronica is really cool because, like, I don't know what it... Do you remember what it was called that Nancy's husband was, like, telling us about? Like, the, like, Soundwave stuff?
Arduino?
I don't know if it was that. But it was, like, some kind of, like, way of learning, like, sound waves where, like...
Oh, computer...
Yeah, something... I don't even know. But it was,
if
like...
If you talk, I can try to remember in my brain.
But basically, like, we were talking about wanting to get, like, synths that were, like, touch-sensitive, or, like, you could, like, plug them into stuff and, like, make whatever you, like, touch an instrument. And then this ad on my Instagram showed up for Playtronica.
Fucking Instagram.
So, which was, like, really wild because Playtronica, it makes these, like, synths that, like, that's that one. And, like, with that one, you, like, plug in the clips, and then you can program each of the different things that you plug the clip into to, like, any sound you want.
Whoa.
It's so cool. Like, literally, like, so all of these, like, yeah, have a different sound programmed into them. And then so when you plug a clip in, the other side of the clip, you can put it on anything, and that thing will, like, play the sound. So that is really fun to do live, and we'll, like, connect it to ourselves, or, like, we have, like, this giant mannequin head that we call Mother, who's, like, our, like, cyborg mother, basically. And then, so we'll, like, yes, connect the clips to Mother, and then, like, press Mother, and, like, then we'll have this, like, explosion of sounds. And we have another one called Touch Me, but that one... actually, shout out Mars Residency, because JC is currently repairing those for us, which is so lit.
JC?
Yeah, which is so fucking lit.
Too.
Yeah. And those are, like, also touch sensitive, but, like, basically you hold either side and then, like, you program the sounds the same, and then, like, depending on, like, where you touch, it'll change, like, the sound and, like, warp it. So, like, your body literally becomes an instrument, like, through this, like, tiny synth.
Yeah, and then I'm like a huge sound nerd, so I was like, how? So, like, usually, like, the automatic sounds that come out of it are just regular piano, like, sounds. I was like, that's so fucking boring. So then I connected them to Logic Pro and found the drum machine designer, basically. So then I changed each of the things to be, like, different field recordings that we've taken, or different, like, glitch sounds, or, like, different drum machines,
very cool,
so that it's, like, very different, which which plays, like, a really cool noise score.
We got we have our gracious host, Joe McGowan. He has
it's Mother Joe.
Mother Joe.
He has
Go get it.
He's stopped in. I want to turn it over to Joe and let him plug all the events that he has lined up for Married Fatality. And also, I hope he asks, what have y'all been learning so far since you've been here?
Okay, I don't have a lot to say about what
you have
they
so much
learning
to say
you
all the time, bro. You
learning
never stop talking.
They come in, they know everything. They don't need, you know, we have different artists come in,
yeah,
and some need a lot, like, some need my hand. Hold my hand. You guys are professionals. You don't
we're
need
like,
that.
Like, please don't even do, like.
No, it's true. It's true. They're like, they're working. They're steady, man. They know what they're doing. Aw, you know?
Thanks, Mother.
So, like, you know, you're welcome, young ones. But they do. They have their thing. You know, they don't need I'm hoping we'll collaborate more as time goes on. They're going to be here a pretty good while. I think they said they were staying a couple of decades.
Yeah,
I like it.
50 years to be exact.
Yeah. I'm going to be running these trails till the day
She's
I die.
Running. We love runners. Send him kayak. I mean, they have not kayaked yet. I'm trying, man.
So I appreciate it.
Now, here's the thing. What you were just talking about was really interesting to me with this little machine here.
Yeah.
Like, I heard the craziest talk a few years ago, entomological talk, where, I don't know if y'all are familiar with this, but you need to find out. Where you plug this stuff into, like, trees.
Yeah.
You can record trees that are wounded and they cry. You can tell if a tree has been injured by bark beetles, by it makes noise. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
The sky's the limit with this.
Yeah.
You can hear anything. But no, we're really excited to have Married Fatality here. We met on what?
2 years.
2 years ago.
Punk or Decker show in Oxford, Mississippi at the Powerhouse. They're doing some great things there. For sure. I mean, we'll be back there. I'll be back there on April 21st. Y'all welcome to drive over with us. And, no, they were amazing. So we met them there. And I was, like, very surprised with Mary Vitality. I watched them. They were crawling. Their performance. I love noise. I love.
So lit.
I mean, I do. I love noise. I love weird. I love whatever. You guys were crawling around like crazy surreal lizards, man. You know. I don't know how to describe it, man. I was, like, so. So I wasn't sure how you were going to respond to me afterwards. Like, do they know how to talk in, like, human language, right? I'm not joking, man. I've met some weirdos, and they are weird, as am I. But they came out, and they were talking to us, and like, I was like, they were like, it's good to meet you, Mr. McGowan. I'm like, what the hell? It's like, dude, so professional. I was so impressed. And so we've had a few artists out here now.
I just love the going from the like dismantle burn.
Yeah, no,
hey,
I don't know how you. I don't
hello,
know how you
Mr. McCallum.
No, I feel it because I'm the same way. I'm very manic. Y'all have met me, right? I'm like, ah. She's like, he won't shut up. We're trying to work, man. But so then I'm like, I told him later. We talked a little bit about our program. I'm like, hey, man, you know, and they're like, yeah. And I'm like, this is what I need. And like most people. A month or something. I'm like, I need this, and this, and a well thought out explanation of why in the hell would you want to be in Mississippi? Later. It's like 3 hours later, they had written it and it was here. Best ever.
Aww,
best ever.
You.
No one has come close.
Aww.
I mean, no, I'm not lying. The promptness, I appreciate that. Mm. And I was very impressed with your professionalism, and I knew you knew what you were doing.
That's the story that I've been learning. Summer and Mango are. Just through their activism and
it's a, everything
organizing they do. I mean,
they're organizational gurus. They know and they can't do what they do without being professional. They travel the world. They travel the U.S. They travel everywhere. So we do have a few events for them lined up. We're doing
please plug us.
The next one, the soonest one, is this Thursday night at the Starville Area Arts Council on Main Street, Starville, Mississippi. They're going to do a performance. The Cicadas, a local legendary band, will open for them, and then they will play and perform, and we're very excited for this. And then the next thing we really have planned for them, we're not doing a whole lot. We're not trying to inundate them with activities. We want them to be here to create and, you know, get to know me better. And so they will be doing a talk at the MSU campus to the art to an art class in the Old Main building on April 18th at 2 p.m.
Like...
with Professor Jenna Altamonte, and this is a really wonderful thing. She's bringing in a lot of awesome people to talk, and so that's the next thing they're doing. And I think that's the main thing. We'll have a lot of, we may have some other little visitations or whatnot. I'm hoping we'll have a little thing this Saturday night. We'll see.
Yeah.
But anyway, those are the main two things we have slotted for them.
Great, and just for those listening, if they're artistic and if they would like to check out Mars, how would they contact you?
Anybody who wants to come out here and check out our situation here at Mars or with Married Fatality while they're here, just contact me at art@joemcgowan.com. It's very simple. And our place is on Google Maps. at Mars. Yeah. Or McGowan Art Retreat and Studio. It's nothing.
Yeah, it's it's really funny. I like send pictures to my friends of like what like a thing. They're like, where the hell are you? Mars. And I just I say I'm at Mars, and I just send the Google Maps link, and they're like, what?
No, it's awesome, man. We're trying. We want people to come out. We want people. We would love to people for more people to come out and engage with them, really, and work with them.
I remember the first time I brought Abe out here.
Yeah,
Abe is he's a folk artist and folk musician, and I was telling him last time he was in Mississippi, I was like, well, brother, before you go, you told me that you wanted a place that you could retreat to and work on stuff. I know the perfect place.
Wow.
And I was like, it's in the middle of nowhere, and right when we got here, got out of the car, he said, it is in the middle of
the world. He's the kind of guy we really want to have out here, and we probably will. He's currently touring all over the country.
Oh, gosh.
Amazing. Matthew Sweet and other people, he tours all over the world, like y'all. You know, cool. So we're excited.
I'm trying to remember the app or the company, but it's something Web, but like you can go to their website, and it's like VR, and you can just scroll and pick the artist.
Whoa.
And they're in your VR, and they're playing.
Whoa, what?
That's wild.
So I think y'all should look into that.
Whoa.
What's it called?
I'll look it up. Sweet. On here.
Okay, thank
that
you.
That is wild.
Anyway,
you got anything
else? We're very excited to have these jokers out here. Yeah. They're full of it. They work so hard. Only thing I'd say is like, slow down.
Enjoy yourself.
I want you to smell some of these crazy flowers.
I do during my morning run.
We're not retired yet, Joe.
Mango is a runner. She goes running around. I'm like, what is that going by? And it's like, oh, it's a mango. It's
like, just mango rolling around.
Yeah.
And just want to say a big thank you to Joe for dealing with our crazy asses and giving us a place to live and make art and finish out our album and work on our films. And sometimes we're super serious and staring at our laptops, but it's what we have to do to be who we are.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that we don't love you any less.
No, we understand. I'm a manic working joker.
Yeah,
he is it.
Yeah.
For sure.
And thank you so much for connecting us to, you know, like 2 years ago, I said, like, we literally heard about you in Barcelona, Spain.
That's crazy.
That is wild.
Yeah.
That's pretty international.
Shout out Joe and Aaron.
That's crazy. Yeah.
So shout out to those guys. Y'all know the good.
For real. Shout out Alex.
While y'all are here at Mars, you mentioned some of the projects and some of the things that you're working on. So, like, what is the mission for Myriad Fatality while y'all are here?
I mean, like, while you were walking in, I was wrapping up. We were actually working on our album cover, like our debut album. It's like has 13 songs on it. So I was like making the graphic design for the album cover, and then Summer was working on.
I'm working on one of our music videos. Where through the residency we got in Finland called Outsider Art Festival, we were able to commission a friend, Shane Sutherland, who's like UK based, does like really amazing like Afrofuturist films, and is like does like 3D visuals. So we commissioned them to make us like 3D visuals that we could turn into a video.
Those same visuals I'm using for the album cover too.
Yeah. Cool. So editing that video, doing like some like admin for our like tours coming up, and also to like get the album out and rolling.
Yeah, so in the next 3 weeks we're booking a Europe tour. We're finishing the album visuals for our album. We're writing the press release and press kit for our album. We're finishing two music videos.
Three
music videos. We're making a sculpture for Joe and Mars. We're doing two performances, and then figuring out and then practicing our gear because we can plug it in and like play around with it. And what else?
Oh, and then we're also shooting more footage potentially. We're gonna
with
check
Joe's
out
Joe's son Joseph.
Yeah, we're gonna check out some film sites on Saturday. So
we have a very full productive schedule, but we do make time to be in nature, I swear.
Yeah. I saw two wolves running in the woods.
I saw
like during the day.
Yeah.
Like a couple.
Maybe they were coyotes.
Like over there.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Was I chasing a roadrunner?
No, they were just running.
Dude, we have coyotes out here.
Yeah, I heard. Coyotes. I like was walking back from the Wi-Fi, your Wi-Fi studio cabin at night, and I heard a bunch of coyotes yelling. I just sat there and recorded them for like I think 30 minutes. Yeah. It was so beautiful. So
I do that a lot. I keep a field recorder on me.
Yeah,
and so like I'll go out to the refuge and because like same thing. Like with some of the music and some of the projects I'm going to put out in the future, that's the start or the end.
Yeah.
It's the intro, outro to whatever the work. And, I mean, you can capture a lot of great sounds.
Yeah,
we totally. We should take y'all to the refuge so you can see the gators.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm fucking down for that.
It's fun.
I want to see some gators.
Yeah. I feel very connected to alligators. And I saw an owl this morning. I was, like, running.
You saw an owl?
I saw an owl in the middle of the day. Is that normal?
It's unusual, but it's not abnormal. Like, I would say you're abnormal and the owl is abnormal.
No, literally I was running and then the owl flew over me, stared at me, and then went into the forest. It was like it was like this big, it was like white and yellow.
Probably a barred owl.
Yes. Yeah. And it was going hoo-hoo. I was like, it's literally 11 a.m. Like,
you are confused.
I know, I was like,
we're on Mars.
I was like, what's going on?
That solar eclipse got you messed up, huh?
I was like, what?
Dang, I was like,
literally that was what I said. I was like, man, that's literally what I said. And I have some like friends who are obsessed with birds in Austin, Texas. They like go bird watching, and I like every time I see a cool bird I just send them a video, and they're like, where the hell are you?
I didn't know this existed, but I had a friend threw me in a Facebook group, and they did a March Madness basketball, but this was March Madness for Alabama bird calling.
Whoa.
And so they had different recordings of different birds now Alabama, and people voted, and like it went down as like who has the best bird call.
That's so wholesome. Whoa. I love
that's cool. I work with two bird watchers at the Inspansi Museum, and they are really good. They call in owls. You can call them in.
Mm-hmm.
You go out there and yell at them, they'll come. They'll come land on your shoulder and like, mango. That's exactly
it. It's 11 p.m. somewhere.
All right, so I got three questions, and we'll walk out of the door.
Okay.
Just for those listening, if they are interested in booking y'all or finding music or just connecting with y'all, where is the best place to do that?
MirroredFatality@gmail.com. MirroredFatality@gmail.com. Or you can message us on Instagram. Our Instagram is MirroredFatality. We're pretty responsive on both.
Yeah.
And then we have a website. It's mirroredfatality.com.
And that has, like, all of our, like, music and films and lyrics and performances. We keep it really updated. Yeah, so that's a good way to, like, if you wanted to check out our work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're on YouTube.
We're on YouTube and Bandcamp.
But, yeah.
We will be on Spotify and other digital platforms when we release our album, but right now, not yet.
Okay. I respect that. I've got a buddy of mine. He does a lot of drone rock.
Oh, cool.
Sick. And his music is solely on Bandcamp.
Nice.
Same.
And he's from middle of nowhere, Alabama, and predominantly most of his fan base is in Australia.
That's cool. So sick.
Nice.
Australians love drone like music though. Wow.
Down under.
It's really weird. Your drone under. Joseph, when he was in high school, recorded a lot, and his fan base was Finland.
Yeah.
Finland is great.
Well, Finland. Wait, what kind of music was it?
It was like.
He's very experimental.
Is it like heavy metal?
Experimental art music.
Yeah,
it's like experimental acoustic.
Because like Finland has like the hugest metal scene. That's where a lot of metal music. Like yeah, when we were in Helsinki, there was a
y'all
whole.
Are in Finland.
Yeah.
Yeah, Finland is sick.
Sounds legit. Like, did y'all talk about where you played?
Yeah,
we did.
Like, we went down.
You talking about Lithuania? Yeah. Bunkers and. Oh my gosh.
Punk bunkers.
I still want to follow you around, man.
I mean, now we're in Starkville, Mississippi.
We're on Mars. There is life on Mars.
Why are you here, man? Why?
Why not?
Why would you come to Mississippi? What's the allure? I mean, is it, you know, I mean.
Why not?
I don't know. You know, I don't know what y'all know about. I know you've been to Mississippi. I know you know that we have this background of blues and other music and creativity, but I don't know how much you know about it. But it's like one of the more creative places in the universe.
It's more than the arts, too. I mean, we had Jim Henson of the Muppets.
Writers,
wow.
Tennessee actors. Williams, playwrights. Yeah, yeah.
The nature is so amazing.
The nature is stunning.
It's wide open, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You had two more questions?
Two more. Keeping me on track. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. With Joe and Townes.
Hey, hey, man.
And we're off. And we're off again.
Just like that.
All right, question two. And we talked a lot about y'all's touring, but what was the most memorable place that y'all have been to?
You love London. You love London,
mate. I do love London. London is fucking smashing, mate. I would say London for me, just because also, like, one, like, the queer and trans music scene out there is, and just art scene in general, is so next level. Like, I feel like everyone is just, like, doing the most, like, cool, creative, like, expressive stuff. And then another reason, too, is, like, I feel like there's, like, a really big kind of, like, South Asian immigrant community because, like, the UK colonized South Asia, so I feel like there's, like, a lot of, like, South Asian, like, diasporic kind of, like, culture out there that I really like. Really bomb food, South Asian food specifically. British food, not so bomb.
As I heard, it's very lackluster.
Yeah, no. but
also your mom.
My family, on my mom's side, like, her parents immigrated there and were factory workers, and she grew up there, so I feel like I have, like, a connection to the UK, like, from that, too.
Yeah, cool. Mango, what do you say?
I also love London. Like, there was, like, the experimental art underground scene is really awesome, but I think one of my favorite recent experiences on tour was when we were at Convent in northern Spain. We were living in an abandoned fabric village factory town in a convent where nuns used to live. Dude. That that 50 artists took over 10 years ago, and now they have the rights to the building, and they're all 50 artists, and they all live there for they basically live there for free
because they squatted it
because there's squatter rights in Spain, and their electricity is powered by a mill that runs through the river that's literally behind the property, and they have a bunch of warehouses and studios, and they host artists from all over the world. And we got invited to do the A Love Supreme festival and residency. So they brought like 15 international experimental electronic artists who are specifically trans or queer women all over together. And we all had like our rooms together on the same floor. And we had a warehouse to ourselves that had like a roof that was like falling apart. And they gave us a huge PA system. And we were just living there and we met some amazing people. And I think it was like the first time I think that we lived with like other experimental electronic artists mm-hmm. who also toured. So I just felt like that was a time where I didn't feel like a crazy person because people like understood the lifestyle. Now we're going to go on a Europe tour with two of the artists that we met there, Henoveva Henoside and Ivana Racing. And yeah, I eventually want to live in Spain because I want to get Spanish reparations. But yeah, other than that, also other favorite tours. Love Denton, Texas. Rubber Gloves Rehearsal Studios is really amazing.
Honestly, our Europe tour was pretty lit. Like, yeah. I feel like we got to play a bunch of really cool spots. One of them was in Madrid. It was called Sala Trinchera.
Oh, with Roca Punks.
With Roca Punks, which is this, like, fam-led punk collective that booked us. And the person who started it, I think she's Colombian?
Yeah, she's part of that really famous band.
Yeah, she was part of this, like, all-girl Colombian punk band. And then started this, like, punk bar in Madrid, and then took over like the bottom layer of it. And it's really cool because it's like you go into this like kind of like market, like there's like, you know, just like grocery stores,
meat and coffee
and then like a punk bar. So it's like when we left the door of the bar, it's like all these families just like eating dinner, and then like all of these like punks.
Yeah.
So that was really cool.
Oh, I also want to shout out Queer Rave in London because that's run by our friend Zilu, and they like basically got funds to like make a sound system and throw raves all over the UK and platform a bunch of like freaky like black and brown queer artists, and we had a really good time there too.
Yeah, that was super fun.
Yeah.
All right, last question to walk around the door is there anything that I missed, or is there anything that you want to leave as far as a message for the Porch Talk listeners?
Free Palestine, end the U.S. death machine, free Kashmir, free Mindanao. Native sovereignty to the front.
Trans and queer.
Basically,
be good to people. Yeah. Trans and queer liberation. Love each other. Take care of each other. Be gentle with yourself. And fuck the police.
All right. And that'll do it for us.
There you go. Man, thanks, guys.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.